podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
They could break here, Chelsea. This could be the moment. Frank Lampard for Chelsea. It's Carvalho to his right. Lampard for the title. Lampard! It's 2-0! It's Chelsea's championship! And 50 years of waiting have come to an end!
Lampard comes out to Essien!
Oh my goodness.
It's a counter-attack. It's Didier Drogba. And now get down the middle. Drogba goes!
Stretch it.
Chelsea 2, Arsenal 0. And Didier Drogba has...
Drogba in the centre!
McCoy just came to the back. And he's got it.
Possibly bleak as this. Drogba!
Hello, welcome to Chelsea Hour. My name is Meads and I'll be your host for this one. I'm joined by Jerry. How you doing, bro?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Friday recording feels unusual, but I guess we had to with the game on a Thursday. But yeah. good to be back talking Chelsea. Not good to be watching Chelsea at the moment, though.
I feel like we needed to take time to decompress from the absolute madness of the game yesterday. But before we even touch on yesterday's game, I want to talk and just briefly plug the socials. Follow us on Twitter at Chelsea Hour. You know, we keep our eyes and ears to the streets. So if you want some good football knowledge, good football analysis, follow us on Twitter. Also join us on the Patreon. patreon.com/ChelseaHour. We're going to be bringing out some new content. I think the content's kind of slowed down of late. Life's got really, really busy, but we are definitely going to get back into getting some regular content out there for you. And let's get cracking with the pod. So Jerry, I think there was two games since the last time we had a podcast, and I think it's important to really... I'm going to try and lay it out. I don't want us to try and divulge too much into because to be honest, it feels like the games were so similar. But I do want to talk about Burnley first and foremost, and then we can talk about the absolute chaos that we saw yesterday. Burnley 2-2 at Stamford Bridge, bottom of the league. One of the worst teams for quite some time, as open as anything. And Chelsea, oh, and they went down to 10 men after half an hour. Yep. One of the worst teams you probably see, and somehow Chelsea conspired to fail to win, and probably should have lost the game. When you went into the game, obviously, a lot of people are talking about the potential to climb up to fifth or sixth, because, you know, Europa League still up for grabs. I even think seventh might even get Europa League this season. So people are talking, about Chelsea looking upwards. You know, the performances have been bad, but results haven't been too bad. What was your thoughts going into that game?
So I was pretty positive in thinking that we had enough to get a result. I definitely go into games with a bit of caution, especially as this season it seems to be one step back, one step forward. And that's generally the inconsistency with the side. But I thought, you know, coming off the international break, obviously that was a potential risk. But if there was going to be a time to kick on and start climbing up the table, it was going to be now. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. What were your thoughts? Were you probably around the same, right? In terms of
for me, I don't really have any optimism when it comes to Chelsea. I think the way that we play, the way Poch has us playing, even when there's certain things that are positive about a game, I just feel like the way that he manages situations let alone tactical and emotionally. I think the way that he manages things is just always quite frantic. So I never feel quite confident or quite sure of a result, even if we start well or poorly. I just, it doesn't really, there's no degree of comfort, essentially, when I watch us. And that kind of transpired into the game. Chelsea started pretty well. Yeah, Chelsea started pretty well, to be fair. Got the goals early up again. Let's talk about the goals, because I mean, sometimes it even feels like a blur, to be honest. I believe the first goal scorer was
Cole Palmer
penalty. Good run from Cucurella to get behind hit. Mudryk won the penalty. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Oh God, I'm blending the game. This is something I warned you against doing, but God, yeah, it was Mudryk. Slightly fortuitous. It was a great pass in behind, and Mudryk gets in, and he takes a slightly heavy touch, but then Player pushes him down. And for me, that looks like a clear penalty, if I'm honest. But what were your thoughts?
So I'm not gonna lie. Both the Madueke and Mudryk penalty in the past two games, I've looked at them over and over again. I don't really think either of them are a penalty. I think there's an interesting distinction between a foul and a penalty, where something that is a clear foul in other areas of the pitch is not given as a penalty. And I think at first I was kind of in the frame of mind that a foul is a foul no matter where it is. But I think if you take the rules as written, there is a higher bar. Or the spirit of the rules, there's a higher bar for these fouls that lead to penalties. So looking at that, I just don't think they're penalties. But I'm not going to complain. We got them. And obviously Palmer, that penalty, I think he had to wait quite a while for both penalties, actually, for the VAR check. And all three times, he pulled it out of the bag. And I think... Listen, three penalties in two games. I think that's eight penalties for the season. I would dare any other player to try and get the penalty, to try to take the ball off him again. He's just that guy. Like he makes it look so easy, and the audacity to try that finish. You can tell he's a player that's brimming with confidence at the minute.
Yeah, I mean. I want to talk about like the initial chances, because I feel like, to be fair, I don't know. I feel like, to be honest, people have been talking about Chelsea missing chances. And to be honest, I think Enzo had a good shot that keeper saved up onto the crossbar. I also think there was another opportunity even. Nicholas Jackson was slipped in and he saved it. So it was a good save.
Yeah.
So I think we had our moment, but then when I watch Chelsea, every game, no matter who we play against, and I said it against Burnley, I said it against United, I just feel like no matter who we play against, I feel like I'm a broken record when I say this, and you know what I'm going to say. You touch, we touch. You attack, we attack. There's no real thought process behind, okay, well, if we lose the ball, how are we set up structurally to make sure that we don't get transitioned on at speed and with danger? How do we literally stave off pressure? How do we structurally progress the ball? How do we structurally move without the ball? And I just feel like every single game we're open. Every single game, the opponents have an opportunity to really punish us. And I just, like, don't get me wrong, Burnley didn't have super clear-cut chances, but I remember they had chances in the first half that made me think, what the actual hell is going on? And I feel like whenever I'm watching games, there's no degree of confidence and comfort. Like, there's always a concern that I'm always watching it thinking, well, why is the midfield like that? Why is the defence like that? Why has the midfield got no options? Why are the defenders... So I'm always like... And that's not because I'm critical or hypercritical. It's just when I watch a game, I like to see an air of dominance, especially when you are a supposed top team playing against a team that is fighting for relegation. But ultimately, every game that Chelsea play against, it looks like they just seem to be... it's just that they seem to give teams a go, regardless of the level that they play. And it's so frustrating. And I feel like we're seeing the fruits of that, where Chelsea are just generally going to be getting punished quite consistently as a result.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the stats for that game, with 10 men, Burnley still managed 18 shots at our goal, which is...
That's absurd.
Yeah, which is...
That's beyond absurd. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, that should never happen. Like, if you're a serious team, that should never happen, let alone against Burnley. That's a team that you should be put into the cleaners and literally controlling the ball, dominating the ball, making sure that, you know, you pick them apart and pick them off. Like, and if they want to transition, if they want to try and transition on you, you put a structure in place that you break that down quick and counter and kill them off. But it just seemed like we had no grip, no control of the game. And yeah, you want to put some onus on the players to take accountability. But my God,
I think if you with this team, obviously young, inexperienced, and if you look back to, I think it was maybe 5-6 years ago, there was a period in time where we were struggling with low blocks as well. And anytime a team went down to 10 men, it was almost worse for us than playing with 11 men, because with 10 men, you know, they retreat into their box and, sorry, into their defensive third and just stay there, make it very difficult for you. But the surprising thing was Burnley, where it was able to do that and still make forays into our area. I mean, 18 shots is even against 11 men, that's a lot.
That's what I wanted to even just mention. Like, even if they had 11, if you had 11 men on the pitch, them taking 18 shots at goal at home is a madness to me. I'd still feel sick. So to compound it with them being a man down, Vincent Kompany being sent to the stands, how are you allowing this to happen? And the worst thing about it for me, I spotted the issue when they still had 11 men. I spotted the issue early doors, saying, oh, wait, what? No, this is not good. This is not good. I had concerns from the very beginning. So if me, a casual fan, watching the game, let me not say casual, a fan, watching the game, can spot the issues and has spotted the issues consistently throughout the season, how are you, as a manager, not stepping in and saying, actually, no, this is not good enough? Like, yeah. I can't imagine many of the top teams, their coaches looking at the way that we play and thinking, oh, actually, that's quite good. That sort of chaos and that sort of, you know, oh, you have a go, we have a go. Like, I don't see how they, it just doesn't make any sense to me. But I'm actually stunned that this is what's happening at Chelsea right now.
I guess that's the thing, right? If you look back to, I mean, every coach has compromises and things they feel are really important. And if you cast your mind back to the days of Tuchel, where we had probably on the side of more structure, less fluidity, and, you know, a big issue with that system or that squad was scoring goals. And that's a whole another issue in itself. But if you look at the structure, the environment that the players were playing in, Tuchel almost stumbled upon the three at the back formation because that was what he knew we were used to. And he thought, I'm coming in, you know, cold. We've got a few days to work with the players. Let me stick with the tried and tested. But he stuck with it because he figured that we could counter-press effectively in that formation. And because the wing-backs were high and you had three centre-backs covering, that meant in every area we could cover the press adequately. So that meant that even when they got through a press, there was a structure behind to contain teams. And as a result, we didn't concede many goals. Conversely, if you look at the issue of scoring, maybe that was a result of the fitness with the counter-pressing. I think it was noted that, you know, players would or the attacking players especially, because they were doing getting through so much work. When it would get to the time to actually attack, they felt their energy was sapped. And I think with Poch, we managed 33 shots against Burnley. Against United, 28 shots. There's definitely been an uptick in our scoring in the past 10 games. I think we scored 17 goals in the past 9 games or something like that. So there is definitely an uptick, but it's the trade-off. So can we still manage to have that attacking output being more compact and being more secure? Do we need to make changes to our back line to get them to step up so that when we do press, we're engaging and the space is tight? Or do we sit back, sit deep, go on the counter? I think it feels like whatever we need to do, Poch needs to look at how we can improve the structure. Because when we have the ball, for example, if we have the ball in central midfield and United are sitting back, sort of, it's like a half press, there are a lot of times where one person will have the ball and then the fullbacks are all the way up the pitch. Two centre mids are in the front line. The strikers are also up the pitch. Wingers are up the pitch. So it's just like two or three men. And if they make a mistake, we're cooked. So it's just that structure. I think when you're watching football sometimes, you're in the moment, you'll see something happen and you'll focus on the mistake that the player makes. But if you watch it back and look at the situation around in the moments before the mistake happened, sometimes that paints a picture of a lack of structure, and it seems like we don't prepare for when we lose the ball. So those are all improvements, you know, I'd like to see from Poch in a limited time and before the end of the season. These are things that I'm surprised we haven't got already. Now I feel like small adjustments, maybe we wouldn't be challenging for top four, but we'd be a lot better off.
I mean, I agree with what you're saying in terms of there's definitely been an uptick in terms of the attack, and you know, we're trying to score goals, trying to get more bodies in the box. I think for not a large number of games in the middle of the season that we only had a couple of guys in the box and we weren't really scoring enough, weren't really proficient in front of goal. I do think that there's a better way that we can do this. And the way that it looks like, for me anyway, despite and regardless of whether we're getting more bodies in the box, I think initially anyway, in the earlier parts of the season, we were quite standoffish. So despite the fact that it's almost like we were letting the team have the ball, we're letting the opponents have the ball, and we had enough bodies back to kind of get blocks in, but it was all quite frantic. And again, it wasn't really a controlled, okay, we'll let you have the ball, we'll counter on you. But now it seems like, okay, well, we're going to throw Enzo up the pitch, we're going to throw Gallagher up the pitch to get bodies in the box, and we're going to throw Gusto up the pitch, and we're going to have Cucurella somewhat high up with De Sassi and the other fullback, whether that's Colwill, Badiashile, Thiago Silva, whoever, or Chaloba back, again, near the halfway line to try and squeeze the team in. Now, the issue is when you do that, when you lose the ball, it is literally helter-skelter. And your team, your midfield fullbacks are scampering back to try and close the space down, trying to close the opponents in transition. And I just feel like that is killing the team. And then you need to also couple that with Enzo, Caicedo have played pretty much every game, and I don't really have too much complaints with that. But when you are a team that is supposed to be dominant, but you're not dominant, and your midfielders are getting the runaround from all sorts of players, they're going to be shattered. So I can't imagine how tired Gallagher, Enzo, and Caicedo are. And I can't imagine that they're going to be sharp or in their best selves. And that is what it is. That comes with the sport, comes with the territory. But my God, the amount of spaces that they have to cover, especially Caicedo, is so criminal. It is so, so criminal. And you add the poor game management, it's just insane to me. And I just feel like we're just, again, always going through the motions, because that just seems like the players, to me, just don't really have a real trust in what the manager's doing. And now, don't get me wrong, I think they like him. I think the players actually like him. But my God, it's just an absolute mess. Nothing encapsulates it more than the Burnley game. Because we go a goal up to Cole Palmer's penalty. He then scores another goal. Was it 1-1?
No, we went.
I think it was 1-1, right? So they scored a great goal.
Did we go 2-0 up?
Was it 2-0 up? I think we did go 2-0 up.
Because I feel like we've gone 2-0 up twice in the last two matches. Let me just check that quickly.
Why do I feel like we went? Oh, wait. We did go 2-0 up, didn't we?
No, it was 1-1.
No, it was 1-1. It was 1-1 because I remember. Yeah, we got a last minute goal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because I remember Cole Palmer got the goal from the Raheem Sterling flick to make it 2-1. It was brilliant. They scored a fantastic goal as well. They popped it around us again, midfield, nowhere to be seen. Again, structurally, all over the place. And God, just a horror show of Petrovic for their goal. But again, zonal marking, free header, just absolute hell. And Chelsea, it just seems like there's so many functions and so many things that are just wrong with us. Like, wrong. So we're bad from set pieces. We're bad from wide crosses. We're bad in transition. We are bad with the ball in terms of building up. We are bad when it comes to clinical finishing in front of goal. There's so many things that are just not quite good with the team. And don't get me wrong, we've got very good players. But there's so many things that are not quite right with our team. And it's really shocking, man. It's really, really shocking. And that kind of tells. You can kind of tell, given our results, that we are so shambolic. Oh, man, the game ends 2-2 and chorus of boos for Pochettino, thoroughly deserved. And I'm actually disgusted that he wasn't sacked that game. But to be perfectly honest, that's all a bit of emotions. I don't think sacking him now is sensible. I mean, I don't like him. I don't think he's good. I don't think he should be a manager. And to be honest, I think he should have been sacked a long, long time ago. But I'm not a big fan of sacking managers towards the end of a season. I'd much rather give them the time until the end and then get rid of them the first day after the season's done. Get rid. Get absolutely rid. Because that was a real shambles. And to get one outdone by not only Kompany, who's a young manager starting his career, he was not even on the side of the pitch. And I felt like Burnley had more chances to win the game. I think Raheem had a massive start from a Cole Palmer fantastic pass. But I remember Jay Rodriguez, he hit the bar, isn't it?
Yeah.
Again, free header. There's so many things that are just wrong with the team. There's so many things wrong with the club. And it's just a real, real shambles. And to be honest, going into the United game, the optimism, there wasn't any. Manchester United versus Chelsea is often a boring draw, unless you're Pochettino, where we got absolutely pammed in the Old Trafford, where we got outplayed. We got absolutely popped off the pitch, not without us having opportunities to score, of course, because it's Manchester United and they're not really in the best of shape. But yeah, we were just an absolute shambles at Old Trafford. So I kind of expected more of the same. And once again, game started pretty well. Jerry, talk to me about the first couple of minutes. And in fact, I want to kind of get the psychology because after all the mess of Burnley How are you now feeling against, like, going into the United game?
I don't know. I was feeling like United are not a good team, but I remember sort of going into the previous game against them thinking, ah, we definitely have these guys. The thing about United, though, is they have better finishes than us. So, whereas the last game was open as well, we had a lot of chances in that game and we just couldn't finish. So if you go blow for blow with United, more often than not, they will have the tools to beat you. And that's why they are further up the table than we are. They also, I think they broke the record in the game against Brentford for most penalty box entries, I think it was 84. And again, they struggle with structure. And we have similar issues. So I thought, listen, if we can get control of the game, we might be able to starve them of chances. And, you know, we've been scoring more goals. So, you know, I was a little bit more confident to see what we could do. But, it's seeing how, obviously, it's kind of difficult to say knowing how the game panned out, but I was not expecting that win, and I was expecting a much less chaotic game. I feel like you were probably more on the negative side in the group chat. I feel like you weren't convinced at all of our chances.
Yeah, my negativity is all stemming from what I watch, and I'm not a negative person. I'm quite optimistic. I'm quite generally positive. So when I see things, but that's the thing with me, I can't bullshit. So I have to say things as I see them, and I think that's why on the Twitter account, when it comes to like match commentary, I just have to say it as I see it. When I'm watching the match, even if we're winning, I want to be ecstatic that we're winning, but I'll also have deep concerns about what I've watched. And I think if you were to go back and watch the game, like I have as well, I've gone back and watched it again, all I felt throughout the both watches, and it's very rare, right, that I'd watch a game back and feel pretty much the exact same thing after watching it. But when I watched it again, I thought to myself, what the actual hell is going on? The same way that I watched it the first time around live, with all the emotion, I thought to myself, what the hell is going on? What the hell is going on? Why are we doing this? Why are we playing like this? Why do the midfield have no options? Why do defenders have no options? Why are the defenders trying to find the attackers and the attackers have nowhere to turn? What is going on? Why do we only look somewhat decent when we're in transition? I had so many questions. Like, it was all going through my mind. And once again, all that happens, it just goes back to Pochettino. So when going into a game, I don't have intense confidence. I don't have this degree of, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to come for sixth or come for fifth. Like, I just don't have that because I have an inherent disbelief and distrust of the manager. Like it, and that's because of what I've watched. And there's nothing that I've watched that's made me think, you know what, Poch, you're good. You know, there's nothing I've watched that made me think you're actually a capable manager. Like, it's just so messy. So, you know, I had a mindset of like, well, it's possible because United aren't too great either, but I just didn't see us coming away with a win, considering how comprehensively they beat us at Old Trafford. And funnily enough, the game started and we got off to a good start. Cucurella. Actually, it was Conor Gallagher. Again, good play from Enzo. Enzo slots in Gusto. Gusto then has a cross, but it gets ricocheted. Comes out to Conor Gallagher, who hits it. Decent enough finish. I think Onana would be very disappointed that he didn't get a proper hand to it. Because it kind of wormed his way under him. That was 1-0. I don't think it was against the balance of play. I thought we kind of looked decent in terms of the press. Well, not really the press, but more about just recovering the ball off of off United and transitioning at speed. I think Mudryk had a good start, looked really, really bright. Had a moment where he cut in on his right foot and it just zipped wide from a deflection. So we looked pretty bright. I think Cole Palmer, again, was jugging. He was taking Dalot to the cleaners with his dribbling, his injection of speed, his temperament, knowing exactly when to inject life into the game, knowing when to slow things down. He was just fantastic for the first 15, 20 minutes. And then Mudryk plays a beautiful ball into Cucurella. Cucurella, funnily enough, bombing up the pitch. Antony trips him. I think it's a penalty because I think it's a knee-to-knee coming together. Relatively soft, but I think that was a penalty. And as you know, CJP, Cole Palmer, dispatches light work. 1-2-0 and Chelsea look, according to the scoreline, look like they're cruising. But in the back of my mind, in the pit of my gut, I felt, I don't know. Something doesn't feel right here. Because usually a 2-0 scoreline, one, is dangerous. And two, I didn't feel convinced. Despite the fact we were transitioning well, despite the fact that United's midfield had no legs to keep up with us when we're mobilising towards United's goal. I remember Jackson's just zipping past Casemiro a number of times, zipping past Maguire a number of times.
Yeah, that was crazy.
We had that game, but all I kept remembering was just how comfortable United were keeping the ball. How comfortable they were keeping the ball in front of our goal, like at the edge of our box. And I was just concerned that even at 1-0 and then at 2-0, that was still happening. So just before Caicedo's mistake, I was saying, look at the options. Like I tweeted it. Look at the options. Look at what Caicedo and Enzo have to do when they get the ball. Because they have no options. They're between them two, they're like 20 yards, 30 yards away from one another. If you look at good pivots, there's a closeness and there's a unison between them and the gaps aren't massive. In football, you want to be relatively compact when the team and the opponent has the ball. And you also want to be relatively compact, your midfield to be relatively compact to then build up when you've got the ball. Unfortunately, Chelsea do not have that situation. Under Poch, the players are millions of miles away from one another. And mistakes will happen. Mistakes generally will happen because if you've got lack of options to build up, you're going to have a brain fart when you're under duress. And that's what happens to Caicedo. Caicedo made a sloppy pass because the Sassy, for some reason, was up ahead of him. Badiashile, again, wasn't quite ready for the pass. And Caicedo played a blind pass because he had no options otherwise. And Garnacho latches onto the ball, darts ahead, and then slots it for a good finish of 2-1. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Here we go, because I was seeing these things occurring, like in my mind, thinking, oh, this is not done, because the way United are set up and the way that we're set up, United are monopolizing the ball into dangerous areas. It's only a matter of time where we're going to make a mistake with the ball, or they're going to just punish us with good play around the box. So the Caicedo mistake happened, and then we could talk about Dalot's cross for Bruno Fernandes. Fantastic.
Great cross, great header as well. I think I said in the group chat, I don't know many players in our squad who would finish that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a very difficult chance, and I think Bruno's a good finisher. Generally, he's a good finisher. So when he's in front of goal, I'm fairly confident he'll notch. But yeah, it was a fantastic cross, and that was kind of happening. Those sort of moments in and around the box, like those entries into our box, I'm like, yeah, the goal's coming, and then Dalot flicks that cross in, Bruno scores. I don't know why Cucurella was at right back. I don't know why. I don't know why we were so destabilised. I don't understand how Bruno was able to slip in. Maybe Mudryk could have done better in terms of tracking his run. But it was just an absolute shit show. And I when that goal went in, I just smiled to myself thinking, that's the Chelsea. That this tracks. this actually tracks. This actually makes sense. What I'm seeing in terms of the scoreline is reflected of what I've watched. You know, it was making sense to me. And then, as everyone knows, Pochettino, when it comes to second halves and his team talks, we can only know what sort of poisonous chalice that he imbues onto his players, because they tend to come out 10 times worse than they did when they went in, which was a worry because we have been horrible. So talk to me about the second half. Talk to me how we came out and our approach in the second half.
Yeah, you could say it's been a theme of our season so far, these second half performances. And while obviously being there, it's really hard to put a finger on what it is. Could it be fitness or lack of, you know, concentration? I don't know. It's hard to say. But obviously they came back out, and I think Varane had to come off for Evans. And Evans then had to come off for Kambuala. So they're going through all that sort of turmoil, and you know they're still putting their will on us. We weren't able to take the game back under control and have that early sort of form that we showed. And obviously Garnacho scored again. That Cucurella versus Anthony performance was nasty, nasty, nasty work. I can't believe he got, like, I've watched Anthony like a few times, and I've never seen him even have anything close to that much joy against any other fullback.
Yeah.
And I think
it was nasty work. Cucurella didn't have the best of games defensively.
Yeah, and I think you know how they say styles make fights.
With
someone like Anthony, the majority of the time, if you watch what he's doing, he's got quick feet, but I feel like the majority of the time what he's doing is he's waiting for you to make a move. That's why he's standing there jockeying and about the place.
I completely agree. I think he's almost like a counterpuncher, basically. So he's like waiting for you to make your move, then he'll quickly shunt away. And I think Cucurella, the way that he defends, he's quite an active defender, and he doesn't wait. He's quite impatient and petulant, I think, in his defense. I think the way that he tries to get out to things early leaves him susceptible to being spun by Anthony, who's like, okay, well, I'll wait for you to make your move, then I'll then cut away from you. And obviously, Cucurella is not the fastest. So by the time Anthony makes that move, it's then difficult for Cucurella to come back. You'll have to then foul you. And also, Cucurella was on a yellow as well. Not fairly early, but he was on a yellow. So I think it just, Anthony, for me, took him apart, really. I think his performance wasn't the best in terms of end product, but he got a fantastic assist for Garnacho for the third goal. So it was a beating down, to be honest. I think he did get by Cucurella quite often, so it wasn't good from Cucu. I think I'd be pissed off if that was a Chilwell performance as well. So I think it weren't a good performance at all, and I'm not going to say otherwise. I think it was a fairly poor performance from him. I can just chalk it down to stars make fights. And I think I've seen Anthony give Cucurella issues before, when it was Brazil versus Spain quite some time ago. And that, again, it just makes me feel like maybe stylistically Cucurella, Anthony might just have his number, basically, which is a mad thing to say because Anthony doesn't really have anyone's number. His phone book is empty, but Cucurella seems to be there. It's mad, but yeah, it was just one of those ones where I just chalk it down to that. By and large, I thought Cucurella was okay when it came to like defending like crosses and defending just the space, but when it came to Anthony 1v1, no chance. Like he was getting beaten every time. But like you were saying, rightfully, it just seemed like United were still imposing their will comfortably. Like we weren't doing anything to destabilize them at all. And their goal came from another mistake from Badiashile, poor touch.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say, man. I don't know what to say. I feel like Badiashile, confidence-wise, has taken a massive battering. And it's mad because he struck me as someone that never really got flustered. Like, even in the poorness of the season last season, like he looked comfortably good. He looked comfortable on the ball. You know, he was relatively sharp. Like, there was no real errors. And then they started to creep into the game. And you're like, ooh, what's this? What's this? And they've kind of followed through into this season since he's been back from injury. And just like, what is going on? And heavy touch. Anthony gets away and puts in an absolutely incredible cross to Garnacho. Incredible. But you can't help but feel like mistakes are part of the game. But I feel like players, if they're confident and confident in the system and the structure in which they play, I think they're less susceptible to make mistakes. I think we've seen similar things with Frank Lampard and again to Thomas Tuchel, where Tuchel had an imperious structure and players just seem to feel comfortable within that structure, and mistakes definitely, especially within the first 6 to 12 months, subsided. Like, we were making far less mistakes than we did under Frank Lampard because, again, players feel comfortable, confident within the pattern, within the structure, and they were making less mistakes under Thomas. So I don't think the players are really clued up as to what is required of them from Poch. And ultimately, mistakes are going to be made. But yeah, Badiashile, quality-wise, are just really, really poor. And then, again, United still looked the more likely when it came to scoring the additional goal. But I feel like they kind of took their foot off the gas because, to be fair, we never looked like we were going to score. We looked super unlikely. So it just seemed like the game was just like dwindling down to a 3-2 loss. Chelsea bottled the lead. United go away, doing a double on us for the first time in how many years. And then we're 3-2 down and Pochettino brings on Gilchrist and Trevor Chalobah, which I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, don't talk to me about, oh, the subs worked. No. I'm sorry. Gilchrist did not change the game. Chalobah did not change the game. So it was just a mad sub. So then, after, 89 minutes? 88 minutes? He's like, all right, fuck it, Nonny. I'm going to give you some trust minutes. Brings on Nonny Madueke.
Chukwuemeka
came on about 75 minutes. A long
Yeah. Madueke came on 89, yeah.
Yeah. So then I'm like, all right. Chukwuemeka didn't really change the game. I don't think he was particularly impressive. Raheem didn't really offer much as well. So the subs didn't really change much other than Nonny. Nonny definitely changed the game, impacted the game. And it was just like, you give him, 8 minutes? I think by then we didn't know how many additional time we're going to get. So Nonny comes on. He didn't really look too bright either, to be honest. Lost the ball a couple of times. Got weights by Mount a couple of times. And we'll get onto Mount in a little while. But it was just so funny how Nonny got minimal minutes, but impacted the game in a big way. Now, I know you said earlier, you don't think it was a pen. I'm going to disagree. I think that was a pen. I think that was more of a pen than the Cucurella one. And the reason why, Dallo kicked Nonny Madueke a couple moments before Nonny took the tumble. He kicked the underside of Madueke's foot. And that's why when Dalot was on the floor, he did not complain. He did not moan because he knew he made contact. He kicked him and then also stumbled into him. Now, the stumbling into him, slight, soft, yes, but the kick is what destabilized Nonny. And that was a penalty for me, clear as day. So Chelsea get a lifeline, and I'm not a sicko, yeah, but part of me was thinking, oh, if there's a time to miss CJ, I'd take a miss now. It's the sicko in me. I can't lie, the sicko in me, right? Because I didn't want Poch again to get away with it. Like, he's been getting away with it for too long. Palmer has to save the day. Is Palmer or bust? Chelsea looked completely abject without it. So I was thinking, that's the sicko in me thinking, oh, I don't want you to miss Palmer. If today you miss, if this moment you miss, it's okay. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not going to be pissed at you. It's okay, bro, because I know you tried. But East Lots, he dispatches as ice cold Palmer does, dispatched 3-3. He didn't even celebrate. He didn't even give the shimmy. He didn't even give the freezing burr. Nope, get that ball. Let's make something happen. And I think that's when the additional time, I think there was a couple more minutes left. And he's like, yeah, 8 minutes. We had 8 minutes. I think he scored in the fifth or sixth minute of extra time for the penalty. So he's like, yeah, let's go again. And then all of a sudden, there was a burst of energy from everyone. Like, Enzo started to try to pull the strings again. I thought he was quietly okay, to be honest. On the first watch, I thought it was really poor. Second watch, I thought, actually, you know what? You weren't that bad. Like, I would have wanted more from you. But you were all right. You were pretty decent. But yeah, everything else was a real shit show. But yeah, Enzo wins the ball back, makes an amazing tackle. And then the ball then ricochets up into the air again. And then he slots it with his left foot to get the transition on the way. And then you've got Carney. You've got Madueke. You've got Palmer. You've got Jackson. You've got Raheem. You've got everyone darting up the pitch to try and make something happen. The ball then falls to Chukwuemeka. Chukwuemeka takes a strike, gets deflected just wide. Onana was completely beaten. Like, no chance Onana gets to that if that drops in under the bar. And then the moment where Enzo, quick thinking, slots it to Cole Palmer, and then boom, deflection off McTominay, 4-3, about a couple of odd seconds between the first and second goal. From the second and third goal from Palmer, and Chelsea win the game with the last kick. Insane, absolutely insane. What were your feelings when that ball went in,
Jerry? I can't lie, I was I was celebrating. I was, you know, even no matter how you feel about how the team is going, like a last minute dagger like that, oh, it's food for the soul. I think even though it was a last minute win, you know, my stocks in Palmer, you know, looking healthy. Stocks in Gusto looking healthy. I think I still came out of that game knowing that Poch hasn't convinced anyone here. Even though we've won last minute win, I think both managers have come out of that game and everyone's kind of looking at it going, yeah, these two teams are not good.
They both come out of that game looking real bad. Yeah. They've come out of that game looking real messy still. Like, oh, mate, like, they're reputationally, especially with Ten Hag, like, don't get me wrong, I never really rated Poch, right? But Ten Hag,
I expected more.
I expected so much more from him, especially when it came to positional play. And don't get me wrong, I think Manchester United, with the ball, are a good side. I think that when they have the ball, they can pop it around. Kobbie Mainoo looking really, really good with the ball. They can pop it round, like, and they've got nice little intra play, and in and around the box, I think they can do good work. But that's it. Off the ball, they're really poor. Like, you can literally run through them with one man. Like, it's so bad. And then they've got no athleticism in the defence or centre back. They've got no athleticism through the midfield. So it's just really, really poor. And I don't know if he's deserted his principles and or his team don't have the right pieces to do what he wants to do. But as a manager, you have to take accountability, especially when you have brought in so many of the signings. So Mason Mount, you bought in for £65 million or whatever. Like, come on. Like, it needs to make sense. And I just don't feel like he's done enough to really move me or move anyone, really. And it's a shame because I think he kind of is a fraud, really. Because from what I saw of him at Ajax to what I'm seeing now, like, you're in a bigger pond now. So you're looking like you're too fearful to do what you were doing in Ajax or whatever. Like, are you only able to bully people in the small leagues? Like, what's going on? Like, do you not have that much conviction in your own wave or source? Because what I'm seeing at United is so bad and so poor. But yeah, man, it's just a mess. So when the goal went in, I was very happy, obviously, because we haven't beaten United since 2017 at home. It's been a long time, you know. It's been a long time since we've beaten them. And I just felt like relieved that we won. But also just a real sense of frustration. But it was just frustrating. The overwhelming feeling was just one of frustration. Because one, it's a get out of jail free card for Pochettino. And the pressure would have been so palpable. I don't think he would have been able to last. Because personally, I want to see the back of him. I don't like mid-season sackings. I like mid-season sackings if they're done early enough. So if it's like November, December, I appreciate that. January, I appreciate that. Any later than that, it's like, well, you've kind of like missed the boat. What are you doing? So sacking him now would be a bit, I don't know. I need to really reevaluate how I feel about this. About sacking him now, but yeah, sacking him now, probably just give him to the end of the season. But he got out of jail again, despite the haram that he was serving up for us in the game, like absolute haram. So that was my, like, there was like the feeling in my stomach was like, ugh, well, we have to deal with more of his bullshit again throughout the week, talking about what it is and what he should and shouldn't be doing to win games. Just disgusting. But yeah, we won the game. I just want to have a quick couple of minutes on Cole Jermaine Palmer. I think the first couple of weeks, I think, Jerry, we were on a pod together and we talked about, you know what's crazy? This is Palmer's team. And it seems like every week he's shown more and more why the statement that we made back then holds true. This is his team. No matter what anyone says, no matter how good the other players are, this is his team. And the temperament, the quality, the focus and drive of Palmer is not to be understated. I think people were getting a little bit frustrated with him against Burnley because he wanted to take accountability. I remember he took a shot in anger from the first couple of minutes at an angle, and people were getting angry. I'm like, and he turned to the fans basically and says, like, he's trying to get them G'd up. And that's what a leader does. That's what a leader does. A leader knows that, okay, the environment is not great. We're struggling. Let me try and show some urgency, show the fans that I'm on it, and get them alive. And it just, Palmer is such a rare gem. Like, I can't stress how peak what he's doing is. Now, people are going to say, oh, he scored two penalties and a deflected goal. But his overall play, just magnificent. Jerry, we need a eulogy for Jermaine Palmer because it's just too much. Like, I'm seeing what he's doing. It's just too much, bro. It's not only about signing of the season, young player of the season easily, and he's definitely up there for player of the season, in my opinion. Now, you probably won't get player of the season considering he's like, we're at 12th or whatever we are. But my God, the impact that he's made on this team. Oh, my God. Talk to me, Jerry.
Yeah. He's playing with a real confidence, like I said before. I think one of the things that really differentiates him from the rest of our attackers is they will get the ball and look to see what the game will give them. Palmer gets the ball and looks to impose his will on the game. So you can see from his actions when he gets the ball in attacking areas that he wants to make the space for a shot. He's, you know, always aware of where his teammates are. I think there's a few reverse passes he tried yesterday that were, you know, close to coming off. It's interesting actually watching his progression, because I think initially where he was sort of finding his feet within the team, he usually would defer to the pass. And we saw some, you know, fantastic assists from that. A lot of chances created, not all of them taken. And, you know, we got sort of to see his creative side up front. And in more recent weeks, as he's, you know, picked up confidence and belief in himself, we're seeing, you know, him go out there and try to score goals. And I think it's kind of similar to what there was a period where Mount was seen as a more creative player. And there was a point you could tell, like, sort of in interviews and as he sort of became established in the team, you could tell the rhetoric was, oh, I need to score more goals. I need to get up the pitch. I need to be a goal scorer. And I think some people, when that's the aim, they will do that by, you know, getting themselves high up the pitch, starting higher. But, you know, Palmer backs himself. He's got the ability to get past his man, as Dalot knows full well. And I feel like he operates really well off the left, sorry, off the right, coming in on his left. He's coming into space. Whereas, you know, in the middle, you're receiving the ball on a half turn, in the pocket, you've got a second to turn and then release. I feel like he likes it when he can drive into the heart of the defense. He's got, you know, the choice of to shoot or to pass. And I think for such a young player, there is such maturity in his play. And he just, there's no better way to describe it than this is what it looks like. This is what a jugador de football looks like. I think while he's been really good, I think he's not the finished product. I think we should remember that. And I think he's got, like, levels to go up. With regards to the shooting thing, I disagree. I think just because you can shoot doesn't mean you should all the time. And I feel like the past two games, he has been going overboard a bit. I think if you are going to shoot and it's clear to everyone watching that the shot is going to get blocked, it's not really doing anything for anyone. I think he should still retain his shooting boots and still try and shoot as much as possible. I just think there are particular situations where you just wish, if he'd just been a bit more clever of that, it's a guaranteed goal. No, not guaranteed goal, but we're through on goal. And sometimes, you know, I feel like players like this, you almost want them to get a goal early so it's out of the way, so they're a bit more, you know, settled and a bit more relaxed about their decision making. But I really admire the fact that he gets out there and he wants to get goals. It's something that we don't have enough in our team, and it's something we need to cultivate. But that trait I'm speaking about, it is something that we see across the rest of our attackers. They get into an area and then they decide really early that they're going to shoot. And while that's not necessarily a bad thing, what you see a lot is wasted opportunities. So I think, yeah, he's been really good. I think he's in with player of the season. Actually, I think young player of the season, I can't think of anyone who's getting that over him. But player of the season, he could do the double. I think he's in the running. But yeah, he's been really good, and I'm excited to see what he develops into.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly put. I mean, we've got a game again this weekend. And I mean, we've got Sheffield United again. It's a game that you should feel like Chelsea should win, but it's a Sunday evening kickoff, 5:30. Sheffield at home should win the game, but they gave Liverpool a difficult game the other day. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. You hope we win the game, but I just have zero confidence. And that's unfortunately just what it feels like to be a Chelsea fan at this moment in time. But I think we'll leave it there. Cole Palmer brings us back from the brink, back in contention for European football again. Honestly, I just hope the next time we speak that Chelsea have got another win under their belt. And that'll be that. Jerry, I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much for your time. And yeah, listeners, appreciate it. Thank you. We'll be back again next week. Take it easy. Peace.
Peace.
Hard. To find a way through! Oh, that is magnificent! Magical from Eden Hazard!
May just
brilliant up by Hazard! Oh, that is absolutely phenomenal! That's more like Kante. They do threads on Twitter and ranting. Doing the most. True say that money is power, so when you get money, keep quiet and ghost. Ghost. I remember when I shot my shot, but I didn't have guap, so I hit the post. But next time it's a golden goal.
Sports Social Podcast Network.